The following is a brahmachari class given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on November 8th, 2012, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shivishakanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschanja Deshatarine. So, Sankirtan Das asked, and we have a brahmachari meeting, and I said, yes. So here we are. Do you have any questions? Do you want me to speak about something? Or is it a question and answer session? What did you have in mind, Sankirtan? A class, and class on what?
They were all disciples.
Well, no, last time also we did brahmachari class.
Class on what?
On, I don't know.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Yeah.
Coming here in the car, I was just thinking about this, that obviously I'm in a bit different situation because I'm older, but, you know, to be brahmachari in the world the way it is now, and within ISKCON, it's
so... Sir, can you sit here and hear the questions and tell me, hear what's being said? Or maybe you can speak louder, because you have a very soft voice.
It seems it's very difficult to really be brahmachari in the world now.
Yeah.
Because in ISKCON, there are so many young women who come that were always associating somehow in the temples. I don't know of any temple where it's not, even in India. Well, India is different. But how to understand this?
How to understand what? How to be brahmachari?
It seems like...
How to stay brahmachari?
Well, it's set up that it seems like the natural progression is to become married, to enter family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the natural thing to do.
The natural thing to do is to just seems that need to marry.
Ah.
Because it appears that way. It appears that way.
Okay.
So how to understand?
Well, Prabhupada made it very clear when he was here. He very much encouraged the brahmacharis and the sannyasis to remain like that. And you could see in the morning walks, it was practically just men. He would talk things that were very much, you know, conducive for brahmacharis. I mean, he would say things on the walks he would never say in front of the women in the classes, for example, to very much encourage that the brahmacharis and the sannyasis. The teachings are very clear that there are two types of men. There's attached men and detached men. it's stated that Brahmacharya Ashram is for those both. It's both for the attached and for the detached. Those who are attached, they can get married, and those who are detached, they can remain like that and become sannyasis in due course. One of my favorite places to go is Pune. Have you been to Pune?
No.
Huh?
I've met devotees from Pune.
Oh, you need to go to Pune. It's a brahmachari Vaikuntha planet. But there's like maybe about 300 brahmacharis, and they have people to get. You have to qualify yourself to be a brahmachari there. You have to have a college degree, and you're not allowed. You have to have a college degree, and you have to have, after you graduate, you have to work in your professional field. You have to be an experienced professional to qualify to be a brahmachari there. And they have about 300 living in the ashram, and they have different levels too. It's like a whole university. There's like the first tier brahmacharis, the second tier brahmacharis. They have different ashrams, and they have different schedules and different programs. And it's so well organized. You give lecture to this tier brahmachari is a class for this tier. They also had, I gave a class to about 80 men who were waiting from when they can move into the temple. And they also have programs for college students where they get a, they rent or purchase a facility near a university campus. They set up a whole student hostel there. It's like a brahmachari ashram for college students. They come and live as brahmacharis and study Krishna consciousness and at the same time work on their degrees. So they have a very, very, they have a system where you plug in. It's like you can imagine what they do to qualify to be a brahmachari, full-fledged brahmachari wearing saffron in the ashram. You know, they start off 4 years of college, one or two years of working as a professional, and they come in as a beginning brahmachari wearing white, I think, and then, it's a whole elaborate system of training these men. And they're just completely blissful. I mean, they're just, the whole place is just oozing with nectar. It's unbelievable. And the mood, the service mood is so unbelievable. Just like our room where Mataji and I stayed, the water wasn't working. They actually gave us two servants. We had two full-time servants who were waiting us hand and foot 24, all the time, but they weren't up yet in the morning. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and almost everybody was still asleep, and I get up early to do my japa, and there was no water to take shower. So I just took my bucket, I walked out the door, and there was just one stray brahmachari walking by. Now, in a normal temple, you ask a stray brahmachari to help you do something, it's like, hurt. But in this place, he immediately was like our personal servant. He was practically he served me better than many of my disciples served me. Immediately, he dropped everything. I don't know if he was what he was going to do. He's chanting his rounds, what he was doing. But he dropped everything, and he took my bucket, and he ran, and he filled it up with nice hot water. And he gave me two buckets, cold and hot, so I could mix it. So there's no. It's like there being a brahmachari is, it's cool. I mean, it's not like, well, should I get married? It's like brahmachari. See, in the Western world, I mean, it's more difficult. Thing is, Prabhupada's original idea was just to have sannyasis and brahmacharis, but when these girls came, he couldn't say no, because the spirit, the Vaishnava is very kind. He couldn't say no. Get out, See, in Indian culture, they'd be protected by their husband, the father, the system, father, husband, and son. But in Western countries, there's no one to protect them. These girls are just thrown out and They turn into prostitutes, is what they're done. They turn them into prostitutes. So Prabhupada was very kind. Now there are some parties, I think Parameshvara's policy is, I don't know if it's really mandatory, but he doesn't, when he does book distribution, he never even does, he only approaches men. Is that a policy in the parties?
He approaches as many women in a day as he can count on one.
Huh?
He only approaches as many women as he can count
that's,
on one.
That's his quota? He's allowed to approach 5 women a day for book distribution. And beyond that, no. That way he protects himself. That's something I thought it was zero. Now I don't know, 5 are allowed, like the 5 Pandavas, the 5 women for the day, 5 quota for the day. So, yeah, what do? You have all these young girls who are very sincere, looking for husbands. I mean, wow, it's a heavy, heavy thing. How do you maintain enthusiasm for brahmachari life? You got all these beautiful, young, chaste girls looking for husbands. Wow, it is heavy. It's very heavy. Not like they're prostitutes, you know, these chaste girls who want to become Krishna conscious. So you really have to, it's really up to you. Of course, in your case, I already told you, you're over the hill. It's too late. You just have to, I mean, he's almost, 54, 40?
Nearly 49.
Yeah. No, it's too late for you to even think about it. You just have to think, well, Guru Maharaj ordered me to stay brahmachari and that's it. For you, now for the younger men, you know, I can't say that. They have to follow their own, but you should just be fixed in brahmachari for the rest of your life. Because at the age of 50, you're supposed to forget about married life completely. And you're so close, it doesn't make any sense for you.
Can I then add the question of, do you think it's a good idea that Western brahmacharis spend some time in India, amongst Indian brahmacharis?
Well, a number of my men have. How many of you have spent time in Pune? 2 of these, the Lithuanian boys. 3, all 3 of the Lithuanian boys. It's very good training. It's really good training. Spend time in Pune. I highly encourage any of our men who can arrange it to go spend some time in Pune, in the Vash Ashram. I go there 2x a year. I love it. I mean, they the president there respects me so much, and he got in trouble. Actually, it caused a scandal. He put His Holiness Sankarshan Das Adhikari Maharaj on the class thing. And then some sannyasi came, and it was a scam. So he had to, but that's how much he respects me. He was having His Holiness Sankarshan Maharaj. He sees me like his Siksha Guru. He very highly respects me, the leader there, Radhe Shyam Das Brahmachari. I asked him, well, you know, when are you going to take sannyasi? He says, I prefer to stay brahmachari. I'd rather stay humble. But I mean, he can. Somebody he inspired. He's got 50 Namahad groups. 50. And he's got all these. I mean, it's just an incredible thing he's going, the preaching. See, the thing is, for a brahmachari, you got to get into preaching. Otherwise, you're not going to make it, Prabhu. You got to get in the preaching mood. Because we all have this desire to expand ourselves, you know. So you can do it through marriage, by having kids. It's a way you can expand yourself. Or you can expand yourself through preaching, you see. We all have this nature to want to expand, you see. So preaching is, if a brahmachari can get in the mood of preaching, and in any way, book distribution, college preaching, you know, lecturing, any kind of preaching activity. If a brahmachari can embrace that with great enthusiasm, then he can become free from womanly attraction. Because it's more preaching is more attractive than pretty girls. It's more attractive. Because that pretty girl, she's not going to be a pretty girl very long. She's going to become an old hag before you know it. But preaching gets prettier and prettier and prettier all the time. It becomes more and more enlivening. The more you get into preaching, the more it becomes enlivening. It's an intoxication. So you got to really get into preaching, studying and preaching if you want to make it as a brahmachari. As much as you can hear, you know, hear Prabhupada's lectures, hear Guru Maharaj's lectures, hear other senior lecturers, study the books, memorize verses, hone your preaching skills, you know. And that will inspire and enliven, you see. It is tough because, I mean, in the Western countries, we're so conditioned to think that we have to have a woman to be happy. We're so conditioned in this Western culture. It's very difficult, actually, because of that. Brahmachari life can be very difficult. It's an austerity to remain Brahmachari. It's tough, actually, it's tough. But it's even tougher getting married. It's even tougher getting married. Marriage is a heavy, heavy austerity. And it's very purifying, but it's a heavy austerity. Having to go out and get a job, instead of being, you know, able to live in the temple and get up every morning, have a wonderful morning program. Now you're out there in some remote house somewhere with a wife and maybe some screaming babies in the middle of the night passing stool and, you know. And you can come to the temple once a week and you have to go out and work with karmis every day and you have to dress like a karmi and, you know. I mean, it's, you gotta, and before you get, it seems so nice. Oh, I can have a nice relationship with this pretty girl over here. We can sit around and read Krishna book. You know what I mean? But I tell you, once you get married, it's usually just fighting, bickering. The whole idea of sitting around and reading Krishna book together is just like the idea you had is just like it was just a dream, you know. When you actually get down to the nitty gritty, it's just, you know. And you go, oh my God, I gave up brahmachari life for this? There's a saying that there's two laments. There's the lament of the brahmachari who didn't get married. And there's the lament of the brahmachari that did get married. So which lament is better, you see? The lament of the brahmachari that didn't get married, that's a better lament, you see? Because he'll get used to it. He'll become, gradually, as he becomes more and more fixed in namaruchi, you know, the taste for the name, and preach the taste for preaching, the taste for, you know, just serving the guru without any personal thought of personal reward, that he'll gradually become solidly situated in that consciousness. Because the time of death is just you and your relationship with Krishna and Guru anyway. That's all you have anyway. Isn't it? So, if you can do it now, say, okay, you know, let me deal with the reality I can die at any minute and just be fixed. Prabhupada said that every man should stay brahmachari, actually. But if you can't do that, then you can get married as a concession. He wanted every man to stay brahmachari. Prabhupada said it's better not to take advantage of the concessions. But then he said, I also asked that every girl should get married. He said, this is the dilemma. So somehow Krishna has to cover, take care of the whole situation. The brahmacharis are the greatest asset. Brahmachari sannyasi, they are the greatest asset, you see, because they give up sex life. And that's what householders are supposed to do also. So the brahmacharis and the sannyasis, they are leading the way. And the vanaprasthas, you see. By completely giving up sex life, they're showing their householders what is the actual pathway of Krishna consciousness. Sex life is only a temporary concession. It's not an ongoing thing that one gets to, I'm married now, I can enjoy sex life. No, you have two or three kids and finish and back in brahmacharya consciousness again. Another famous example is that the difficulty of being a householder also. It's like the example was given, okay, you go to the Sunday love feast, there's a big, huge, you know, special big feast with gulab jamuns and malpura and, you know, pakoras and chutney and halva and cheesecake and ice cream. It says, okay, Prabhu, now you can't take it, you can only look at it. That's married life. You got this beautiful woman, you know, chaste, beautiful woman, and you can't enjoy sex life with her, except under very restricted. When Prabhupada told the rules for household life, one devotee said, why even get married? It doesn't make any sense to get married. I mean, you can't really enjoy, you know. It's just so restricted. So there's many things we could say about this. But you just have to, how do you then... The thing is, Prabhupada, actually, there's a famous letter that was written to me by Prabhupada that was posted in every temple around ISKCON at that time. The rules for brahmacharis. The brahmachari should not see the face of a woman, Prabhupada said. But he said, it's been your country is a little difficult. So he said, this addressed every woman as mother and talk almost nil. In other words, you don't chat with girls. If you have some business to do, you're respectful. You're not like cold and rude, like, you know. That's just the opposite. That's just another form of attraction, being a negative. You're very respectful. This is my mother. Very respectful and kind and sweet in your dealing, like you would to your mother, you know. But you don't sit down and, you know, be buddy-buddy with your mother. She's a respectful person. Actually, you see, there's a respectful superior. So, in this way, we see the girls as mothers, you see. That is brahmacharya. So I don't know what tomorrow to say. Is there any more questions about this? Yeah.
Some senior devotees is telling that that many times brahmacharis, they do mistake, that they stay in brahmacharya ashram too long and they wait until they are very become quite old, and then they anyway creating families.
And they do what?
And they anyway make family.
Create family anyway.
Ah.
But it made in very old age, for example, 40 years old, uh-huh. 45, and it's very old, and so they are better and make it more early.
Oh, they should have gotten a minute earlier.
Yeah.
Hmm. Just like I'm advising him at 46, just forget it. Just stay brahmachari. See, if he was to get married now and have kids, he'd be... you have to basically maintain them till they're 25, put them through college. That means he'd be out there working a job as a 75-year-old man putting his kid through college, you know. You know, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So it's better, you know, if you get too old. One time Prabhupada said after 30, you know, it doesn't... After 30, I can't... It's one of these things I heard that Prabhupada said. He said, after 30, a man cannot tolerate to hear a child screaming. It's not confirmed, but one of those Prabhupada says. Interesting Prabhupada says. But it's better not to wait too late. I mean, it's just impractical. You're 75 years old trying to, you know, put your kid through college, you know. It just doesn't make so much sense.
So it's very hard to distinguish who can stay brahmacharya and who could not.
This should be up to the spiritual master, between the disciple and the guru. You see? This is a very personal thing. Not like there's some policy, you know, a list of rules, you know, some kind of a checklist, you know, GBC checklist. You know, if you're in this category, you have to get married. In this category, you have to stay brahmacharya. It's a very personal thing. So the best thing is to consult one's spiritual master in this regard. Actually, the gurus aren't consulted enough in these things. According to Prabhupada's books, the householder is married and he wants to have children. He has to get the guru's permission. He doesn't just have sex with his wife. He gets permission first to try to have a child. So it's very important, actually, to take guru's... If we take guru's blessing for that, whether I can try to have a child or not yet with my wife, and that requires guru's blessing, it should also require guru's blessing and guidance about whether I should get married or not. The spiritual master should be consulted. It's not just the temple president or the GBC. That's a very personal thing. Spiritual master should be consulted. Yeah?
Srila Gurudev, could you expound and clarify on why you got married?
Why I got married? Actually, I was on the sannyas list. But my GBC, very powerful leader, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, very big, powerful leader, he asked me to get married. So I could have said no. There's like the four Kumaras. You can do that. Legally, you can refuse in order to get married. But after I met this girl, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi, I said, this devotee is extraordinary. Not an ordinary Mataji. She's actually a very extraordinary person, very pure, extraordinary person. There would be a tremendous preaching partner. I mean, here I was on the sannyas list, you can imagine, getting ready to take sannyas. And Tamal Krishna had this idea that this might be good for me. So it was not like an order from him. It was more like a suggestion. I saw that this was actually a very good preaching thing, a very good facility for my preaching Krishna consciousness. So, going beyond the, you know, having the name and fame being a sannyasi, I was thinking, what would be the best thing to facilitate a lifetime of preaching? And I opted to go ahead and get married for the sake of preaching. Because Prabhupada gives the example of the sannyasis that were sent by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to the UK for preaching, and they were a complete failure. But he sent three householder couples, and they revolutionized London. So I saw that this is a person who's not going to be like one of these, you know, lusty Matajis who wants a lot of kids or something like that. It's a preacher, a dedicated, renounced preacher. So, of course, that's not easy to find in our movement. Find a woman who's a dedicated, renounced preacher, completely in the missionary mood with no desire for children. That's practically non-existent. and among the women, to be honest. This woman here is a very rare exception to that. Most women do want kids, and that means getting a job and, you know, putting the kids through school and the whole thing, the whole nine yards. But I saw that this woman is very, very renounced missionary spirit woman, and I thought this would be, I really felt this would facilitate my preaching to get married. So I did it for that reason. And I was right. It's a fact that she's been a very, very great asset for my preaching. Incredibly great asset. Yeah.
So if we stay brahmacharis and go straight, yes, do we reach the level like we stop wanting a woman?
Yes. If you stay fixed in brahmachari life and you cultivate pure Krishna bhakti, you will achieve a stage where there's no more attraction. There's no more attraction to women. You will achieve a stage. Yes. If you come to the mood of pure bhakti, when you get to the asakti stage, there's absolutely no attraction for anything except for Krishna. Even the most beautiful girl from the heavenly planets wouldn't faze you a bit if you're on the asakti stage, you see, just like Hare Das Thakur. Of course, we can't artificially imitate Hare Das Thakur, but the fact is that if you come to the level of pure bhakti, you will not be disturbed by any woman. You will not be. And actually, it's only chemicals anyway. There was one man who he had some kind of cancer, maybe prostate cancer or cancer of the testicles. I'm not sure which type of cancer. But they gave him some, in his chemotherapy, they killed all of his male hormones. And when he saw a woman, it was just like a little baby seeing a woman. He was amazed. There was absolutely no attraction to women left. When his male hormones were killed off, it was like a little baby seeing a woman. He was amazed at the change in his consciousness. So when you're attracted by a woman, actually, it's not you. It's just your hormones going, you see. It's just the hormones getting stimulated. It's not you. It's just some chemicals. It's all it is. It's some chemicals in your body having a reaction. It's a chemical reaction is all it is. It's not you. It's a chemical reaction. So if you understand it, it's just a chemical reaction happening in my body. That's all it is. It's not me. Not that I now have to go for a woman. Now I have to get married. No, it's just the chemicals. You understand?
No, Srila Gurudev. I heard that it's also that the Cupid has already inflamed your heart. Is there something else?
Cupid is stimulating the chemicals. Cupid, Prabhupada does talk about Cupid. It is Cupid. But Cupid he's not actually touching the soul, he's touching the coverings of the soul, in which the chemicals are a part. So, when Cupid comes with a little quiver and says, going zip, 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 shooting your heart full of those arrows, you just got to call out to the attractor of Cupid, please get this guy off my back. get this guy out of here. Madan Mohan, you see. The one who attracts Cupid. You have to call for the help of Madan Mohan to attract Cupid away. Yeah.
Srila Gurudev, in Lithuania there is some preachings which serious devotees, brahmacharis are preaching, but it's very good to become brahmachari and stay fixed in it. But if you come to family life and you are not ready for perfect brahmacharya, it is very bad for your health to get brahmacharya. And some brahmachari suggest that you have to have illicit sex for maybe at least one time in a month. Or
I mean, as a brahmachari?
Yes.
Oh, masturbating?
not masturbating, but
with a woman?
With woman.
A brahmachari should have illicit sex once in a month? Yes. So he keep himself peaceful?
Yes, keep himself peaceful.
Who's saying this?
There is some senior brahmachari preaching about this.
Going to a prostitute once a month?
Not prostitute. You should...
Where do you get this sex once in a month?
From woman which you are living.
Oh, I see. For people who are living outside the temple.
Yes.
If they're living with a woman, how are they a brahmachari?
He's suggested that it is very bad for your health and...
not to have sex.
Yes.
Yeah, this is modern day psychology. It's bad for your health not to have sex. Go ahead and masturbate, you know, it's good for you. Go ahead and pass semen at least once a month. It's good for your health. So crazy. I mean, it's crazy. The psychologists say, oh, the boy will go, you know, doubt, you go to the psychologist, you know, I have this problem, I masturbate, you know, I feel really bad about it. Don't feel guilty, it's good for you. That's what the psychologist will say. Don't feel bad, it's good for you. Release the tension. I mean, it's these people, they're like completely unqualified, you know. Dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Sitting in the position of doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists. It's completely ridiculous. They don't know the Vedic science. The fact is that the more you pass samana, the more you become subject to disease. The more you become subject to becoming senile when you're an old man. The more you become subject to sudden death also. Sudden death out of the blue. Some accident or slipping down the stairway. Sudden death without any warning when there's no facility for devotees to come and do a kirtan. Just sudden death out of the blue. That's what passing semana unnecessarily does to you karmically. So it's a very dangerous thing to pass samana not according to religious principles. You're next in line. After I finish him. The fact is that the more you pass samana, you become unhealthy. And the more you retain it, the more you become healthy, and the more you gain intelligence. We studied a verse in Riga last week. Urdhva dritta means samana rising. When you pass samana, it goes down, you see. Coming out of your body, it comes downwards. But when you don't pass it, you keep it, then it goes upwards. It nourishes the brain for Vedic understanding. So if anybody who's saying this, they must be passing samana, because they don't have any brains. Anyone's advising that you need to pass samana to stay healthy, they must be passing samana themselves. That's why they're saying it. It's completely bogus. It's illicit sex. Masturbating or with a woman, it's illicit sex. To think you have to have illicit sex to be healthy, to be peaceful, and this is completely... These are the polluted, concocted things that people preach in the Kali Yuga. This is not Krishna consciousness movement. This is Kali's movement, this sort of philosophy. It's not the Krishna consciousness movement. It's this is not devotee. This is not devotee. People who preach this way, they're actually acting as agents of Kali. They're acting as agents of the personality of Kali, not Krishna. They're called Kali Chela, the devotees of Kali. People advocating illicit sex with a woman or masturbating, or with a man, you know, whatever. Any kind of sexual activity besides having children with your lawfully wedded wife is illicit. And it is dangerous, it's bad for your health, it's bad for your consciousness. Now, if one is not able to do that yet because, you know, he's having trouble, do we reject that person? No. We just say, well, wait, you know, we understand you're having difficulty. Many people have had that difficulty. We're sympathetic with your situation, so we're on your side. We're encouraging you that you can give that up and come to the proper standard. But anybody who's initiated They can't even dream of doing such a thing. You see, it's completely, it's like cutting your throat. It's and one drop of semen takes 40 drops of blood. If I gave you a razor blade, said, here, Prabhu, go have some fun in the bathroom. Here's a razor blade. Slash your wrist and drip the blood in the sink. Go, yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Ah, ooh, that blood coming out. Oh, man, it feels really good. Ah, ooh. You see? Would you do that if I gave you a razor blade? Once, I'll tell you what, Prabhu. We give you a special treat. Once a month, you can go in the bathroom with a razor blade and slash your wrist and have some fun. Once a month, you get to slash your wrist, you know. That way you can be good and healthy and happy. Once a month, slashing your wrist. So that's what it is, having illicit sex once a month is slashing your wrist once a month. I mean, it's crazy. It's insane. And whoever's saying this, are they initiated devotees? Whose disciples are they? Are they devotees in this temple here?
Yeah, not in Kona's temple.
What country?
Lithuania.
How our devotees can be so deviated from Prabhupada is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Initiated ISKCON devotees preaching that you should have illicit sex once a month? Wow. Kali is really infiltrating our movement. I don't know how we're going to keep... Kali, our movement is in great danger right now, I can tell you right now. Kali has infiltrated our movement. Devotees are preaching this kind of stuff. Kali has infiltrated our movement. We have a lot of work to do to get Kali out. That's why I preach very strongly. That's why I preach very strongly, to drive Kali. Kali has infiltrated ISKCON. Yeah. So I'm preaching very strongly how to drive him out, and it's a very difficult thing. He's very much entrenched in many ways in our movement right now. Kali has infiltrated our movement. So we need strong preachers. We need dedicated, pure souls who strictly follow the regulated principles and preach what Prabhupada says without any deviation. And then there's hope we can save this movement from being destroyed by Kali. Okay? Are you satisfied with my answer?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It was a stupid question. I heard about what's happening with a man, yes, like they're losing energy, like you said. But what's happening with a woman if she is doing the sex? if she gets reaction...
For a woman, it's not... Physically, it's not... For a woman, it's not... Doesn't wear out a woman. Like, she's not losing any semen, losing any fluid. Well, there's... I don't actually, be honest, I don't know... We're getting over my head. there is some fluid that moves around in the woman's body, but the man is the one who really takes the hit. That's it. He takes a big hit. He's losing semina. So, but karmically, if a woman violates the principles, her consciousness goes down. It's very negative impact on her psychologically to violate the principles. Look in the Bhagavatam about, there's a chapter called Pregnancy of Ditti in the Evening. This lady was a sadhu. She's described in the Bhagavatam as being a sadhu. Sadvi is the feminine form of the word sadhu. Ditti was described as a sadvi, a great saintly lady. But she was very lusty for sex. She had it at the wrong time, in an inopportune moment with her husband. Not according to religious principles, she had sex. And the result, two big demons were born. If a woman indulges in sex life and tries to induce her husband to indulge in sex life against the principles, she runs the risk of giving birth to very demoniac children. That's a fact. Very demoniac children. Who will cause great trouble to the movement and great trouble to this planet. Anything else? Yeah.
In Bhagavatam, we hear about Lord Indra when he sees a sadhu or a sage going through austerity of any type, then he'll send... Indra will send a society girl or something to disturb the sage, he meditated.
Yes, he sent Menaka to break the meditation of Visharamrita Muni. Yes.
Does that, in that way, does that affect one who's brahmachari in some level? Does it work like that?
Is Indra sending some brahmachari to break your brahmachari? Is that what you're asking? Huh?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, you have to remember, if you study the story, Vishramita Muni was so powerful in mystic yoga, he'd achieved the samadhi stage of the Ashtanga yoga system. He actually had sufficient power to remove Indra from his post. Now, if you become that powerful in yoga, you might have to worry about Indra sending a menaka to lure you with the sound of her bangles. But if you haven't reached the Ashtanga yoga samadhi stage yet, it shouldn't be an issue. But Kali, our Cupid, may be playing with you. Indradev may not, but Cupid may be sending some of the young brahmacharinis, check this one out. Look at that one over there. You see. Cupid may be playing with you a little bit, testing you out. So, you have to, and to become attracted to Krishna, that's the only hope, you see. Otherwise, it's just like a Mayavadi trying to deny, nati. It doesn't work. The Mayavadis ultimately fall back into sense gratification. You have to become attracted to the beauty of Krishna. That's the only solution for a brahmachari, really, to be unhappy. He has to become attracted by the beauty of Krishna. Simply gutting it out and, denying, it won't work. You have to become attracted to the beauty of Krishna. Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's form, Krishna's names, Krishna's teachings. You have to fall in love with Krishna. The kirtan, the deity worship, the preaching, the service, everything related to Krishna, you have to learn to fall in love with it. You really do. Because that will save you. That's more attractive than any woman, see. Deity worship is very good. Everyone does deity worship. Whether you're a pujari on the altar or just attending, everyone should be appreciating the deities. How beautifully they're decorated, how beautifully they're dressed, the beautiful smile of Krishna, you see. Madarang, madarang, vaparasya vibhur. Madarang, madarang, vadanang, madaram. Madhugandhi smrit. Madhugandhi smrit. Madhugandhi. Madhugandhi. Mridu smritam. Etadaho. Madarang, 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 madarang. That's what you have to do. You have to come to that consciousness. The translation is, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet. And his face is sweeter still, but his soft, honey-scented smile is the ultimate sweetness thrill. This is Bhavamangala Thakura. So you have to fall in love with Krishna. You really do. I know in my own life I was very attracted to, I have it on Thought for the Day every day, that picture of Radha Govinda. Before I even met the devotees, I found that poster and I just absolutely became enchanted by that poster of Radha and Krishna. So you have to find some picture of Krishna or some deity that truly enchants you. It could be the deities at the manor or... You know what I mean? Every brahmachari should have some form of Krishna that enchants him. You have to find something, some picture, some painting, something, some form of Krishna that you become mystified or enchanted by it. You see? And that's how you'll save yourself. You see? Where you can just, in your mind's eye, you can see that beautiful form of Krishna standing there on the bank of the Jamuna with Srimati Radharani, with that, the amazing, most amazing you know, evenings are charged with the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes permeating every cubic inch of Sri Vrindavan Dham. You know, you just meditate on these things. You have to develop this kind of vision of Krishna and his activities and his qualities, etc. And then no woman can come close to that sweetness. And that's the key. You need the sweetness. You can't just be tough. That doesn't work. You can't just tough it out. You have to find sweetness, ruchi, to make it as a brahmachari. You have to find sweetness in some aspect of Krishna consciousness. You have to find sweetness. The kirtan, you know, something that really finds sweetness in it. Yeah. Your relationship with your spiritual master, for another thing. You see, something that really you find sweetness and warmth and love in that thing. You see. So then you won't need a woman to so-called sweetness, warmth and love. But if the spiritual master has encouraged you in a relationship with a woman, just like we've encouraged you, you see, then you should take that, and you shouldn't now think that then you should follow them. You shouldn't, I'm not negating. If I give personal instruction to somebody about having a relationship with a woman, I'm not negating it. This is a class for brahmacharis, after all. You're a householder also. So I'm not negating in any way your relationship with your wife. This is targeted towards brahmacharis, men who wants to stay brahmachari, not men who are married or want to get married. This is a targeted class. It's not like a general class I've been given the temple room. The targeted class for people who want to focus on remaining free from womanly association. So those of you who are associated with a woman who've been authorized to do so, you can take it, and not that I'm directly saying you have to think like this. You see. There's two kinds of men, as I said, the attached and the detached. For the attached, remain brahmachari. And those who are serious about being, detached, yeah. For those who are serious about being detached and remaining detached, just focus on brahmachari, brahmachari, brahmachari. But if that's too much for you, you can't handle that, then you can follow the pathway for those who are attached, in grihastha ashram, and gradually come to detachment. But to know the principles of brahmachari, that is, every man should know that, whether he's a married man or he's a single man. That's why I'm allowing the married man to stay here, you see. Because he should know the principles of brahmachari. Because he didn't get any brahmachari training. You start off in Krishna consciousness as a householder. But understand the perspective of brahmachari will actually help you to see your wife not as a woman, but as a spirit soul. Okay, anything else? Yeah.
It's regarding the Vedic cosmology. I find it hard to believe.
What does he say, so?
It's about Vedic cosmology.
Okay.
And I find it hard to believe that the sun turns around Earth. And I discussed it with senior devotees.
The sun going around the Earth.
Yes.
Okay.
And I discussed it with senior devotees, and the answers I got is something like our senses are imperfect, or that there will come a time when you will be able to believe scripture.
No, the answer is very nicely given by Sadaputta Prabhu. You can take all of the astronomical measurements, and you can look at it either way. It's a matter of perspective. All the relationships can be just the same, but you can see it from the Earth. You can see that everything. You can take it as the sun around the Earth is scientifically valid. It's just a matter of perspective. And Sadaputta has very nicely explained it in his book. It's scientifically valid to see the everything revolving around the earth. It's not a matter of blind faith. It's scientifically valid. It's just a matter of perspective. We could actually demonstrate it. If we had a little machine with little balls in the sky, we could show you that you can take the model in either way, and it's scientifically valid in either case. You can show everything revolving around the sun or revolving around the earth. It's either way a scientifically valid way of looking at it. They're both scientifically valid.
It makes sense now because just this morning I read in the Prabhupada's book and he makes a comparison talking about Krishna's games, and he says, he actually states that just as as Earth travels around the sun, and that like really confused me because
Well, both of them are true. Actually, the answer is both are true. It's a matter of your perspective. You can look at it either way, and either model will work to explain the relationships between all the planets. Either model works perfectly. They don't contradict each other. It's like, well, let's see if I could do it with my fingers. I don't know if I could, but you know. Which finger is revolving around which finger?
Would it be the same if we...
Which finger is revolving? Is my right revolving? Is my right finger revolving around my left, or is my left revolving around my right? They're both. Both are true. And if you were seated on one, if you were situated on one, you would see it in one way. You see it in this one, you see it in the other way. But both are true.
Would it still work if we...
Huh?
Would it still work if we include other planets?
It still work if we include other planets also.
Yeah, no, the whole solar system will work. The model will work either way, the whole solar system. Sadhavudhavu has scientifically demonstrated it. So either model works. It's heliocentric or geocentric. The heliocentric or the geocentric universe, technically it's called heliocentric, which is sun-centered, or geocentric, earth-centered. Both models are scientifically valid and viable models for the universal, the movement of the planets. You can describe the movement of the planets heliocentrically or geocentrically, and both of them are scientifically valid. Hey, next question.
As I understand that Brahmacharya life is more concentrated on becoming example for others, like in preaching, and it's more concentrated on preaching and becoming personal example.
Yes. And we want brahmachari acharyas. Brahmachari, even the word, acharya, achari, you see. Brahmachari means he's acharya, he's an ideal example of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
So, what is the difference between brahmachari and grihastha brahmachari?
There's no difference, actually. And Grihastha Brahmachari follows the same principles, except he has one woman who is not mother. Other than that, he's the same. He acts just like a Brahmachari, except with one woman. But other than that, all women are mother for him. So it's the same thing, except he has one woman that he's an intimate friend with. That's his wife, you see. Other than that, he's just... He does stuff like a brahmachari. He says all women is mother also, except for his wife. He's just like a brahmachari, except for this one woman he has an intimate relationship. That's the only difference. Next question. Yeah.
We was talking about young, the nice girls. And is there any bad things when you communicate with your mother? Lord Chaitanya was and other acharyas was trying not to communicate even with their mothers. Is there any dangers communicating with mother?
So is there any rule for communicating with one's mother? Prabhupada encouraged the brahmacharis to maintain relationships with their mother and father. He encouraged this. He never told us to cut off our relationship with our parents. He never said. He encouraged us to maintain and give them back to Godhead subscription. Prabhupada encouraged us to maintain relationship with our parents. Brahmacharis, grihasthas, everyone. He would meet with the parents sometimes. And Prabhupada was very charming host. They would just melt their hearts. They would meet like parents of a brahmachari or parents of a woman or a grihastha. Prabhupada would meet with any of the parents and they would just come away with just completely in ecstasy after meeting Prabhupada. And so you can read in the conversation book where he meets with the parents of different devotees. And they became away, would come away with so happy after meeting Prabhupada. Anything else?
How old are you?
I'm eternal. Actually, I'm just turning 65. My body is just, I'm legally considered in the U.S. a senior citizen. I just attained the status of what's called a senior citizen in the U.S. A retired old person. But I still feel I'm the 23-year-old brahmachari that joined the ashram in 1971. And I feel even younger because so much psychological baggage I've gotten rid of in the last 41 years. I feel younger now than I did when I joined the movement. Even though the body is aged to 65 now, you see. Actually, the spirit soul is eternally young, Navayovanam. So, we have to regain our original eternal youthhood, and you do that by chanting Hare Krishna, by surrendering to Guru. You will attain your original youthhood. Prabhupada said, even an old man, 80-year-old man, can work with the energy of a young man if he's Krishna conscious. And he proved that on the morning walks. We youngsters couldn't even keep up with him. He would probably just walk like anything. The devotees are trying to keep up with Prabhupada. He's 80 years old walking with so much energy and the devotees can hardly keep up with him. It's amazing. So become Krishna conscious and become an eternal youth. This is our program, attain eternal youthhood. Next question. Everyone satisfied now?
We can get no satisfaction.
Huh?
We can get no satisfaction.
More satisfaction?
We cannot get more. It's from music.
It's from your... From yesterday, from Vilnius, you told us.
Oh, I told about it. I can't get no satisfaction. Yeah. In the material world, yeah. Yeah, that song was actually made a very good point. I'm going here, I'm driving here, I'm smoking this, I'm doing that. But I can't get no satisfaction. It's a fact, you can't get any satisfaction here, no matter what. Even if you become Brahmaji, you can't get any satisfaction in this material world. You cannot do it. Even if you become Brahmaji, so wealthy, so powerful, so influential, still no satisfaction. But if you simply become even an insect, Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, I would rather be an insect in the house of a Vaishnava than to be a non-devotee Brahma. Because at least I can hear the chanting going on. When they offer the arti, you know, I can be walking across the altar when they offer, a roach walking across the altar when they offer the arti. I can hear the arti going on. So he was praying to be better to be an insect in the house of Vaishnava than to be a non-devotee Brahma. Okay, if that's it, we'll stop here. So everyone, thank you very much for your participation in this process. Everyone should become brahmachari, brahmachari, grahastha brahmachari, vanaprastha brahmachari, or sannyasi brahmachari. Everyone should be very fixed in being brahmachari. Brahmachari is forever ki jai.
Jai.